you for your word today. I thank you, Lord, for all the great things, Lord, that you are doing, Lord, in our midst. I want to praise you, Lord, for your grace. I want to praise you, Lord, for giving us the gift of your word, Lord, and all of its blessings. I pray, dear God, that you would just work in our hearts and in our minds today. Father, give us clarity of thought. I pray, Lord, take me out of the way, Lord. Let your spirit just speak, Lord, powerfully to all of us, Lord, that we would put together and in place in our lives the building blocks that we need for growth and for strength. And Lord, I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So everybody get this in your mind, right? What's the word for this year? Say it. Building, right? We're building, right? We're building God's kingdom right here. God is building it in and through us. We are so thankful to see all of you. And by the way, I saw Allison, Alan, and the baby back there too. So you guys snuck in on us. So it's great to have you with us today as well. And the grandparents there in the back. So we praise God for them. So we are so excited to open up God's word today. Let's go to Psalm 119. And we are going to begin sort of a little mini-series that sort of starts off our year. And if we're going to talk about building, right, we got to talk about building blocks. What are we going to build on? How are we going to build? No one starts building unless they have a plan of attack to really get it going, right? And we got to do that. And I'll throw this out. By the grace of God, God has not left us here without a plan and without power to build his kingdom here and to build our lives so that we look more like the Lord Jesus Christ. He hasn't just kind of left us here, and a lot of times we feel like this as Christians, to kind of flounder around. Did you ever see a fish when you drag him out the water? Yeah, and we use this phrase, it's like a fish out of water. They're kind of flapping around and doing all this stuff, but it's not really fruitful, is it? God hasn't left us here on this earth to flounder around, but he's given us some real building blocks that we can work with to grow in his grace and knowledge and to build his kingdom here. And, you know, we think about the book of Matthew. Remember the Lord says, he says that nothing, the gates of hell will not prevail over his church as a precursor to his kingdom across the universe. It's not going to fail. So we're going to dive right in this morning and we're going to talk about our first building block that we want to get on is the building block of the Word of God. And we're going to focus today on this foundation for growth and strength, the foundation of God's eternal word. Now I'm going to throw it out. Ready? Look up for a sec. We were laughing about that this morning. So we were talking about, you know, back in the day, we used to like really be tough on our students, like, put your phone away. But all of us, like, we have our phones out. You know, we're even communicating in church sometimes. Hey, something's not right. We got to fix it real quick. But, just kind of look up for a second. Let's just think for a minute. What's God want us to do? He wants us to grow. He wants us to change. He wants to transform us from the inside out. And he's given us something, the Word of God. And the Bible says this, right? In the book of Hebrews, it says it's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to divide asunder joints and marrow. And it's able to help us even understand the motivations and the intentions in our heart. And God wants us to change. He wants us to build on this supernatural foundation called the Word of God. And we're going to kind of dig into that. I want to ask you guys a question. So if you're looking up, what is that thing? What is all those rocks? What is that? Somebody said rocks. You're right. Amen. It's rocks, right? What is it? Hey, you guys, by the way, you know, in New Jersey, right, they actually, some people call us, they call us shoobies. Everybody ever heard that word before? Because we don't go to the beach, we go to the shore, right? And when you go to the shore, you see those things all over the place. What is that thing? Good. I wish I had prizes today. You know, answer, give that person like $1,000. Yeah. Right? It's a jetty, right? It's a jetty. And a jetty is made up of big rocks. And it almost looks like they're sort of not organized. They're kind of thrown into place there. but they are so critical because that jetty protects the beach. That jetty protects those expensive homes on the beach. And I was looking it up. How many folks have ever been to Long Beach Island? Right? We were there last year, right? We First Baptist Church, we hit Long Beach Island twice last summer, right? And we probably saw some jetties, and lifeguards always yell at us, get away from the jetty, because you don't want to be smashed into those rocks by those strong waves. So we kind of got to see those. And here's the interesting thing. On Long Beach Island, there is a brand new jetty. Brand new might be strong. Kind of newer jetty. And guess what it cost to build? $39 million. Isn't that unreal? $39 million. Now, if we add up all of our salaries together for all of our lives, I don't think we're going to get there. And all it bought was a pile of rocks. Right? Think about that. Well, guess what? This jetty, though, protects billions of dollars of property. I looked this up. The average home on Long Beach Island sold last year for $1.5 million. There's more than 39 on Long Beach Island. Right? Think about that. It's unbelievable. And I use this as an illustration, this foundation, these foundation stones. The jetty protects so much. It makes life possible. It makes the fun that we have in the summer possible. The Word of God is given to us as an incredible, priceless gift of God to protect us, to teach us, to make life possible the way God wants it to be in our lives. And he gives us these foundation stones. And by the way, if you look at the jetty, like when you walk across it, and many times you can walk across it, lifeguard doesn't always yell at you. When you walk across it, you're going to have to step, you know, one's up, one's down. But they're placed in such a way that the sum total of all those rocks together are like this impregnable force that protects the sand from the waves and the storms and the wind and all the power that's there. And the Word of God is so much like that as a building block in our lives. So we want to kind of dive in with that thought, and we want to kind of answer this question today. We're told that reading God's Word, the Bible, will help us as we travel through life. How many folks have heard that before? You know, there's a quote, they call it the Sunday School Answers. What do you have to do? Read your Bible and pray. Are those good things? Yes. It's maybe not quite that simple, but it is. How does that work, and what will be the benefits to me if I do it? And I want to throw out, we're starting to look at this series, these building blocks in the beginning of the year, because if this is going to be a year for us to build, we got to build on foundations that are powerful and strong and fruitful. And in our Christian life, the Word of God is that thing. And I want everybody to look up for a second. I'm not going to make you raise your hand, although it would be fun to do it. But just stop for a minute. How many of us today have a real plan to take the Word of God on a daily basis and allow it to speak to us and change our lives? Don't raise your hand, but how many of us really have a plan? I want you to answer that question in your mind this morning. Because a lot of times, like we have, by the way, how many of us, we'll raise your hand this one, how many of us would like the Word of God to really change their lives this year? So almost 100%, we have the best intentions in the world that God would do it. But with no plan, it's not going to happen. Let's be real, right? Let's really be real. It's not really going to change you much, you know, without a plan. So how are we going to do that? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. What are we going to do? And the Word of God gives us this. Here's our eternal truth. And we looked at this last week. So remember, our word for the year is what? Building, right? So God's created us in Christ Jesus to be new creatures with purpose and promise. We're reconciled to God and become ministers of reconciliation, ambassadors of Christ. To do what? Build the kingdom of God through our local church here, right here. And God has given us resources and gifts to direct and fuel our growth and strength His inspired word, the Bible, is a foundational resource for our spiritual growth that changes our lives and results in wise living, thanksgiving, and praise. Word of God does all those things. So let's just kind of jump in this morning. Let's ask ourselves the question, what do you think God's perspective is on his word? What do you think it is? And we sang about it today, that song, Ancient Words. You know, there's a whole lot of people that lost their lives that you might hold a Bible in your hand, have it on your phone, your tablet, you know, have it on your bookshelf if you don't read it that much. We have Bibles everywhere. And a whole bunch of people lost their lives that we might have that. They're called martyrs, right? But what's God's perspective? So let's just take a look at that. We're going to look at Psalm 119, and we're going to break that down in some detail. By the way, Psalm 119 is powerful. It's really epic, and we'll look at that in a second. So here's a couple things we want to get a hold of this morning. Let's think about the character of the Scriptures, God's Word. Let's think about its character. And I want you to get this in your mind. It is a precious gift. Anybody get a new Bible for Christmas? No. Anybody get a new app on their phone for Christmas? Right? You know, it's kind of hard. Like, everything we look at is kind of digitized, right? But yeah, I did actually hear someone in the church said, I got a new Bible. You know, and it's kind of cool when you get it. It's like motivating. You know, it looks kind of cool if you get one. Or even a new app can be the same way. But we'll look at that. We're going to talk about what's its purpose. What is the purpose of the Bible? What's its purpose? Some people, by the way, think the purpose, you know, when you get those big family Bibles, in the front it has births, marriages, deaths. You know, some families, we record all those key events. That is a purpose. That's not really God's purpose. God has a bigger, higher purpose in giving us the Scriptures, right? In this time, we're going to look at this psalm. Its language and its structure, as God talks about his word, is pretty amazing. And we're going to look real quick at some big picture fruit before we look at some small fruit. So that's what we want to think about this morning. So let's just kind of jump into God's word. So we look at its character, its purpose, its language and structure, and its fruit. So let's just jump in right away. We're going to go right to the next slide. And let's take a look at this. Look what it says. And by the way, I want you guys are going to learn a little Hebrew today. Not a ton, but a little bit. Notice that first letter there underneath the heading, it says Aleph. And that letter there is called a Shwa. Okay, everybody say it, Shwa. Shwa, right? It really has no sound, which is kind of interesting. But it's the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet, kind of like Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet. A is the first letter in the English alphabet. But we have Aleph. And we'll talk about the structure in just a second as we look at those. But notice what the Lord says about his word. In the first two verses in this psalm, he says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. So let's just stop for a second. Everybody look up. Let's stop for a second. Think about this. It sounds like if I have some working knowledge and use of God's word, in what state does that leave me? It begins with a B. Wow. Okay. We got to get the coffee on, right? We're blessed, right? It leaves us blessed. And let's talk about this for a second. How many people, isn't that one of the most overused words in Christianity? How are you doing today? I'm blessed. I'm blessed and highly favored. You know, God bless you. And that's not just when you sneeze, right? We use all those things, right? What does that mean to be blessed, right? Here's kind of what it means. A couple things. Write these down. It means that I am experiencing the favor of God when I'm blessed. And it says that when I'm walking in his word, I'm experiencing the favor of God. And as I experience the favor of God, that favor of God gives me peace even when the things on the outside aren't going right. You know, and blessedness, by the way, isn't just I got a lot of stuff, I'm healthy, but there's this internal blessedness that I am walking by faith, not by sight. I am experiencing God's presence, God's comfort, God's grace in all the things that I go through. And it says that when I'm in the Word of God, it says, when I walk in the law of the Lord, and by the way, the Bible uses this in this word walk so many times. In both the New Testament, it uses the word peripateo in the Greek, and in the Hebrew, it uses another word. And the idea is when I order my life and I live my life based on the scriptures, that kind of gives me the structure to live and make decisions. When I do that, I find myself to be blessed. So here's a question for everybody. Anybody want to be blessed? Let's be real. Seriously, raise your hand. You want to be blessed? You want to have the favor of God? Everybody wants God's favor, right? What do we got to do? Walk in his law. Now, here's the question, everybody. Let's just be real again. Let's kind of be real with each other here. First part of the year. Is it easy to spend time reading God's word every day? Does anybody struggle with that? One or two of us. The rest of you aren't telling the truth. You need to walk in the word more. Right? We wrestle with that. We struggle, right? We struggle with it. By the way, Pastor Ansu, do you struggle to find time to really digest God's word? Yep. Yeah. Pastor Gary, do you struggle? Yeah. But I thought that's your job. But we still, there's all the things of life, right? Just take up our time and all the distractions and all the needs and all the problems and all the issues. And sometimes, instead of the word of God taking that primary place, everything else does. Right? We wrestle with that. So it's a precious gift because it causes us to be able to walk in the favor of God and to have that internal blessedness in our soul. So I wanna slide down next as we look at that. That's kind of its character. And by the way, Psalm 19, not just Psalm 119, this is what it says about just how incredible God's word is. Look what it says. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It actually is able to change our soul, convert. Like conversion is not just a little change, it's wholesale, it's big. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Hey, I don't know about you guys, but I need a lot of wisdom. I can be pretty simple-minded about stuff, and I can be pretty driven by my flesh. I need God's word to give me wisdom to really see what's what. The statutes of the Lord are right. They say, rejoicing my heart. And we'll talk about it. Let me get this out. We'll come back to this more in a second. But this idea in the book of Psalm 119, not just Psalm 19, God uses 8 Hebrew words to describe his word. One of those words is statutes. And it has the idea, once you get a hold of this, it has the idea of things that are inscribed or things that are engraved. And I want you to think about this in terms of the word of God. When you engrave or you inscribe something, what does that usually mean? It's going to last, right? It's going to be permanent. If I could take off my wedding ring, and I can't. Christmas must have been too good. If I could take it off, inside my wedding ring inscribes Jane and my love for each other. It's permanent. It's meant to be permanent, right? So when God's word, these statutes, they're inscribed, that word he uses for that, get this picture. When God says something, it's permanent. And when God said he saved you, it's permanent. When Jesus Christ rose from the dead and conquered death and conquered sin, it's permanent. It's inscribed. It's not going to change. When we understand our salvation is secure, no matter what I do tomorrow, it's inscribed. It's engraved in the Word of God. It's permanent. It's not going to change. And you see why he says it. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing my heart. When we think about God's commandments and God's words, I tend to think about what God wants us to do. Aren't you glad for what God has already done and inscribed and said, this is for eternity? Words like, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Man, that gives me hope. You know what? I don't know what's coming this year, but I know God's going to be with me in everything that comes And I know where I'm going to be no matter what. Even if the worst thing happens to me this year, you guys, don't cry for me because I'm going to be with the Lord. Right? That's something he's talking about. That's why his word causes me to rejoice. And he says this. He says, the commandments of the Lord are pure. They enlighten my eyes. You know, Satan has the other job. His job is to blind our eyes. And we begin to see things that are wrong as right. And we begin to see things that are right as wrong. God, please enlighten my eyes by your word. You know, in the day that we live now, I was reading an article somewhere this week talked about where is truth? Remember, Pilate actually said this, Pontius Pilate with Jesus, about where is truth? Today we're living in a world, we can't quite tell what's true or what's not. No matter what media outlet you get it from, take it with a grain of salt till you figure it out. Where's truth? And he says, here's truth. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It's going to enlighten your eyes. It's going to show you truth. And he says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The fear of the Lord is what keeps us on the path that God wants us to be. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. I'll throw this out. Everybody look up. You know, every year, by the way, we see people that we trust, people that we depend on fall. And we go like, dang, I can't believe that guy did that. You know, praise God, we're never going to say that about God. Amen. He's not going to fall. He's not going to mess up. He's not going to get, you know, tempted to do something wrong because it's impossible. But it said the judgments of the Lord are true, and they're righteous altogether forever. They're engraved that way too. And look what he says about God's word. And I want you guys to ask yourself this question. Is this how you really feel about God's word? Look what it says. It says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Think about it. Is that how you handle the scriptures? Is it more important to you than gold? Is it more important than anything else? You just know what God wants. It says, they're sweeter, it says, also than the honey and the honeycomb. Like the word of God is sweet because it gives me a pathway, but man, it gives me promises that I'm going to rest in until the day the Lord calls me home. Sweet. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. And I'll throw this out. If I'm going to keep God's word, I surely got to know what it says. And I'm going to throw this out again. As Christians a lot, and me and Nancy, we're talking about this down the hall this morning. A lot of us have this really, and I'll say me included, and especially a lot of passages in Scripture, we kind of have this superficial surface knowledge of the Word of God. And then that gives us a superficial surface application of the Word of God. And when I deal with life at a superficial and surface level, I'm often wrong. Does that make sense? We got to know what God's word really says. And by the way, Satan's going to raise up people, and they're going to tell you, don't believe that. They're going to say, that's old. You know, it's a new day. We don't have to think like that. Right? No, these scriptures, they're like statues. They are inscribed. They are engraved. And no matter what human opinion is, even in total, they're not going to change. And that's what God's looking for in us, right? He wants us to have that. So the Word of God, man, it is a precious gift. It helps us to see what we need to see about life, about what God wants us to do, about who we are, and about who He is. So it's amazing. It's so precious. We're going to go right down to the next slide there, Sarah, if you would. And you know, Psalm 1, by the way, I'm just going to read it real fast, kind of just underlines that point. I'll throw this out, by the way. Doesn't Scripture talk an awful lot about Scripture? Even in the Psalms, it's like the Lord is like, I want you to understand this is really important because it really is. And look what he says about the Word of God. He says, blessed is the man who walks in. By the way, there's that word, blessed. What's that mean? It means I'm experiencing the favor of God internally and externally, right? And he says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but what? His delight is in the law of the Lord. And again, look what he says. He says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. I don't know about you, but I like to be a Psalm 1 kind of guy. How about you, right? I like Psalm 1. You know, that'd be a great license plate to put on your car. Psalm 1. I'm a Psalm 1 dude. Like, everything I do, because I'm living in the Word of God, it's prospering. And I'll throw this out. That doesn't mean that license plate only works on a Mercedes-Benz. It might work on a Hoopty, too. Because you know what? Everything I do is going to prosper with eternal consequences. Right? If you have it on your Mercedes, praise God. But it's not just for here. It's forever. Right? That's this awesome, awesome thing. Right? So check out what the Word says about the Word. We're going to go right down to the next slide. Look at the next thing. It's purpose. And we want to think about, so God gave us his word. We can kind of get a sense of how precious it is. And now we want to think about its purpose. And so I want to go back one slide. I think I might have, you clicked it and I did, and we got one ahead of ourselves. But check out what the Word of God says in Psalm 119, 1-8. It kind of gives us an idea about its purpose. It says, they also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. In other words, one of the purposes of God's law is that we learn to live as God's people. And you might say, this seems out of place, through his grace. We're going to talk about it. We're going to kind of share like a profound thought that I think will help us understand this better. It says, they also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. So the idea is God wants us to learn his righteous word so that we live like his people. We experience his favor because we're his people. And all those things kind of say that. In Hebrew, there's a lot of thought. They call it parallelism of thought, where the author will say it one way and then say it another way. And if you look at the example, that would be, they also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Saying the same thing, right? When I walk in God's ways, I don't sin. Same idea as being kind of presented there. But the psalmist, he says that. It's about learning. And I want to share with you guys and get this in our minds, because we start talking about the law, it makes us want to try to just keep the law. If I keep the law, I'm going to get God's favor. Everything's going to be okay. The law was never, ever, ever given to save you or me. And I want to just drive that home. Galatians chapter 3. Remember Romans chapter 3, verse 20. We looked at that 2 weeks ago, right? Remember the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not, how many? One. And it goes on to say, it says, there will be no flesh, and by the way, that's all of us, that are justified by the law. We already blew it. We were born into it. It was blown before we started. There's no way for us to be justified by the law. The law and God's word was never given to save us. It was given so that we live like God's people. And it was given so we understand that we need an outside force named Jesus to save us from our sins. And he says it right here. He says, is the law against the promises of God? No, certainly not. For there had been a law given which could have given life. Truly righteousness would have been by the law. So if God could give us a law that would save us, he would have gave us a law that would save us. Every time I get a new law, I am still have the propensity to do what? Break it. Remember we talked about that? If I say, don't do it, what do you want to do? Your smiles, they betray you. Don't do it. It makes me want to do it that much more. So law's not going to do it because my heart needs to change, so I don't want to not do it or do it. And he says this here. He says, But the scripture has confirmed, confined all under sin, that the promise of faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. Right? So the law was never given to save us. God's law is never going to save us. It's going to direct our lives so that we live wisely and we live like his children. And we understand that we are lost without him. That's what it does. That's sort of the purpose of the law. So we're going to slide right on down, Sarah, to the next thing. And I want to just share with you guys Psalm 119. Everybody look up. Psalm 119. What do you notice about Psalm 119? Take out, if you have a Bible, take it out. If it's on your tablet, scroll through a little bit. What do you notice about Psalm 119? Man, that thing is long, right? By the way, how many verses is it? 176. Everybody, write this down. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. Ironically, the longest chapter in the Bible is about what? The Bible. It's about the Word of God, right? It's about how important the Word of God is, that God recorded it for us for all of history and all of time. And I want you guys to check this out. If you can see it in your Bible, notice that before every 8 verses, there's a heading. And that heading is the Hebrew consonants. There are 22 Hebrew consonants. The first one is Aleph. The second one is Beit. The third one is Gimel. The next one is Daleth. Those are the consonants. That was A-B, really, G-D in that context. But there they are. That Hebrew letter begins each section in this chapter. So there are 22 chapters. Who's really good at math at 12 o'clock in the afternoon? Hebrew, there's 22 consonants, 8 verses. 8 times 22 is what? 176. There's 176 verses that describe the excellency of God. Get this. In each of the 8 verses in each section, each verse begins with that letter. In other words, when I look at the Aleph section, all 8 verses begin with Aleph. When I go to the Beit section, the B section, all 8 verses begin with Beit. The first letter in the first word is Beit. When I go to Gimel, all 8 verses begin with Gimel, or the G sound. Each section is made up of 8 verses that begin with that consonant. It's kind of amazing. Like, it's this epic sort of poem that God has given us about his word. And I want you guys to think about this for a second. In the book of Revelation, remember it says that Jesus is the Alpha and the what? The Omega. Well, when we talk about the Word of God, it's the Aleph all the way to the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It is exhaustive. It deals with every area of life. It gives us that sense of just how excellent God's Word is and how much depth is in the Word. So the biggest chapter is all about the importance of God's word. And the scriptures are, I mentioned this earlier, the scriptures are described using 8 different Hebrew words. And here they are. And I want you guys, by the way, we can't cover all this, or we'll be here till Monday. Right? But if we think about this, we look at this passage about the scriptures, he uses 8 different words. He uses the word law, which means the Torah. That's the Hebrew word for that. He used the idea of the word testimony, God's ordinances or his standards of conduct. He uses the word way. He uses the word precepts, the word statutes, the word commandments, the word judgments, and the word. He uses all those things, and you see how many times he uses those to describe the word of God. And you look at statutes where it says, remember, things what? Inscribed. Praise God for his statutes, because that's what guarantees my eternity. His commandments, distinct authoritative orders, his judgments, binding laws and decisions. And then the word is just a general term about the revelation of God. You can take a picture of it if you want. You know, we'll put that out for you guys, and hopefully you guys got a handout with our next little chart like that. But that's how he describes the word of God in this amazing chapter. So we're going to slide down to the next thing. What are the fruits, in a big picture way, of the Word of God? And look what he actually talks about in this context. He says, they do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. So one of the fruits of, as I expose myself to the Word of God, everybody look up. Think about this. As you guys, in the power of the Holy Spirit, expose yourself to the Word of God, what will happen? You will probably sin less. You won't be sinless, but you will sin less. Right? And by the way, that's a good thing. I got to deal with you guys at church, so I hope you sin less next year. Right? That's the idea. You know, it says when we expose ourselves to the Word of God, we're going to be obedient. We're going to sin less. We're going to follow God's way more. It says, you've commanded us to keep your precepts diligently, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. And our hearts are going to change. Here's what he says. You hear the word of the psalmist? He says, oh, how I wish that my ways were directed by his statutes. The more I spend time in God's word, in the power of his Holy Spirit, guess what? It's changing my will. It's changing me to want to do what God wants me to do, even when I would have liked to do the other thing sometimes. It's changed me on the inside out. So it gives us joy. It gives us contentment. Again, think about those statutes. It causes us to praise him. He says, I'm going to praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. It's going to cause us to have those things. I'm going to keep your statutes. He starts out in the beginning, I'm going to sin less. I'm going to obey God's word more. He closes it the same way. You know, there's going to be some real good fruit if we do that. So again, I do this. Everybody look up one more time. Here's the thought. Is preaching just to communicate knowledge? What do you think? Like, do we get together just so we walk out of here smarter about God's word? It's really to cause us to change. There's kind of this idea, they say it, teaching, preaching. Like, teaching, I can give you lots of facts, like all those cool things about Psalm 119. But the idea of preaching is to motivate us, including the speaker, who is a big mess too, to change. To really value God's word and to really find a place to get it into your life somehow so that your life changes this year. And it's really better. Like, you know, everyone says this. I know 2023 is going to be better. I can tell you how it will be if you do this one thing, getting God's word. You may not be richer. You may not be more well. But you will be better before God if you get into God's word. That's why it's the building block for us to deal with, right? We're going to shoot right on. Sarah, if you would, help us. We have our key thoughts there. We're going to go right to the next slide. And we're going to think about this process. I'm just going to do a quick time check. Okay, we got to move and groove here. There's a process that God gives us in his word. And he gives it to us in Psalm 119. And get this process in your mind. When I'm in God's word, there's this time of contemplation. By the way, the verse there is, how will a young man cleanse his way? So I begin to think about, you know, I'm struggling with these things. I'm struggling with this sin. I'm struggling with this bad attitude. I'm struggling with these things. Part of it is a contemplation as I read God's word. You know, as I read God's word in the power of the Holy Spirit, one of the fruits of those two things is I begin to obey God. And it's step by step, little by little. I begin to memorize God's word. Mary says, I've hidden God's word in my heart that I might not do what? Sin against God. So I begin to memorize God's word. It becomes kind of a fabric of part of who I am in my inner spirit. It's part of who I am. I begin to meditate on God's word. It gives me joy. It gives me peace. It gives me hope. And here's something that we don't like the feeling of this, but it convicts me. That makes sense? Anybody want to get convicted? Raise your hand. Right? I mean, in a serious way, we really should. But we don't like conviction says, you are wrong. Right? The way you're going is wrong. And conviction makes me understand. Because here's what I do. When I think, I might get sort of convicted on the surface about my sin. What do we do a lot of times? Rationalize. well, you know, I was really mean to that guy because he's always like that to me. You know, I just give as good as I get. You know, we kind of rationalize our sin, right? Or, we kind of make it seem like it's okay. But when the Word of God, when I begin to meditate on it, Hebrews kind of starts to happen. Remember, it says the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. And I'll skip by the joints and marrow for a second. I like the last part. It says, able to divide asunder even our motivations and intentions in our heart. So God begins to take apart what I'm really doing. And I begin to see, man, I'm more of a mess than I thought. I really need God's grace. I really need God's change. And then it takes me to a place of delight. I begin to experience, like, man, walking in the Word of God is all right. It's helping me. It's making me better. You know, my wife's not yelling at me quite as much as she was last year. You know, or whatever it is. But we're seeing the Word of God. It's a delight because I'm seeing things change. You know, I'm not awful to be with in the morning, you know, or whatever the case is, whatever your challenge is, right? And I want to just throw the last thing out. We're just going to look at it real fast. Sarah, bring the verses up. He kind of gives this, right? How can a young man cleanse his ways? Contemplation. What am I going to do? There's no really other way to do that than that relationship with the Word of God. And it says, by taking heed, by obeying God's word, with my whole heart, I've sought you. I've hidden my word in your heart. And it's kind of all part of that process, that memorizing. I'm kind of seeking God. I'm trying to allow the Lord way in my life to make changes. And he kind of gives us all those things in that passage in verses 8 to 16. And I want to slide right past that for a second. Go right to the next slide, if you would, Sarah, please. Change it for me. There we go. There's one thing that when the psalmist wrote Psalm 119, he didn't have, and you do, and it is the Holy Spirit. Amen. And he is indeed, and that word is overused, the game changer. Because when the Lord says, when I leave here, and he actually says in this passage, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper, that he'll abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He's the Spirit of truth. He is never going to advocate to you something that's false or a lie. He is always going to convict. He is always going to comfort. He's always going to do those things that you and I need. And later on in the rest of that latter part of that chapter, verse 25, he says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance what I said to you. And that was given, by the way, to the apostles. But that same Holy Spirit lives in you and does that role in your and my heart. He takes the Word of God, and he's like a catalyst to allow the Word of God to work. And you know the idea of a catalyst? You know, it's kind of like if I add heat, it speeds up the process sometimes. Or if I add some other element, it makes the process go better. The Holy Spirit is this incredible force who is a person within us for change. And he's never going to leave us, never going to let us go astray. And you know, we read passages like Galatians 5, we won't turn there, but it says, if I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the desires of my flesh. You get that? That it's amazing. Like, he's like, I got the Spirit. I'm not going to be succumb to the desires of my flesh. So we see that process. So we're going to shoot on down. There's a process, by the way, and I use this word. It's this kind of circular change process. The more I read God's word, the more it gets in me, the more I meditate on it, the more I appreciate it, the more I want to read it. I'm being changed. The Holy Spirit's just using it, and he's just changing me, and he's taking people like me who are like dogs, and he's making us God's people. That's the process, right? How he says, and he kind of lays it out for us right in that chapter. And I hope that is what's going on in us. So we're down to the end. And here's the thought. God's promises from his eternal words. And I gave you, how many people got a paper when you came in today? It has two slides on it. Okay? So we're going to look at for a second. God gives us, in the context of 176 verses in Psalm 119, at least 10 major blessings of being exposed to his word. Right? And here they are. Sarah, yeah, just advance that for me, my dear. That would have been kind of cool. And here they are. Boom. But they didn't come up that fast today. That's how life is on earth, right? But here they are, right? Blessings of keeping God's law. Peace. Power to overcome sin. Joy and delight. Understanding. Boy, I could use an extra dose of that one. Strength. Freedom. And the idea from the bondage of sin in my flesh. Hope when there's no hope. Comfort. A lack of shame. And by the way, that has the idea of I'm not doing shameful things. A lack of shame. Reverence for God and his word. A thankful heart. By the way, I think it's the Proverbs say, a thankful heart is good medicine. A heart of praise and worship. A clean life that glorifies God. And personal revival. Those are all the blessings. If I read Psalm 119 and we couldn't possibly deal with that in this time on a day, just one day. Take that. You all got that with you. Look at those things. Think about, digest those things because it is life-changing. That's what God says is, if you're in my word, you're going to be a benefactor of those things. And I want to encourage you to do that. I picked out just a couple of them because I knew it would be 12:34 when I started this. Great peace have those who love your law. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you, that power. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation, understanding. My soul clings to the dust, revive me according to your word. You know, throw this out. Even on my deathbed, the word of God will give me hope. That's the idea of that revival, right? Like, I'm clinging to the dust, but I'm looking forward to the streets of gold. That's what he's talking about. The word of God is amazing what it can do. So here's the thought. So what's your practical plan now? You know, if I, in some ways, I'm selling you the word of God. Are you buying? Yes. You know, God's selling us the word of God. Are you buying? So we got to put a plan in place, right, to do something with that. And, you know, I want to encourage you, you know, a plan might be maybe you have never in a systematic way opened up God's word every day. Like you said, maybe you wake up and you go, let me see what God has to say. And you kind of open the Bible and, you know, there you are. You're in, you know, you're somewhere in the scripture, but not sure how it all connects together or relates. But I want to encourage you. Can we as the body, if we're going to build the kingdom here, we got to know how to build. So I want to encourage you guys. And by the way, what's today? Today's the 8th. So we're a little behind. I checked it out. If you're trying to read through the Bible in a year, we're supposed to be like 22 chapters into Genesis already and 13 chapters into Matthew. I checked it today. Guess what? I'm trying to do that, and guess where I am? Be real. I'm real. I'm behind because everything else, right? I think I can still catch up. If I get to February, the race is over. I think I can still catch up. But I'll throw it out to you guys. In a serious way, what's your plan? Maybe your plan is, you know what? I'm going to take out something like a daily bread. Which, by the way, if you like paper, we got it in paper. If you like it digital, odb.org. It's online. You can go there. Right? It's there. You can get it either way. Right? Or maybe you're going to say, you know what? This year, I'm already too behind. I know I'll never read through the whole Bible in a year, but I'm going to read through the New Testament. What do you think? Can we do that, you think? Yeah, I could do that. Or you're going to say, I'm going to read through the Old Testament. I've been doing the New Testament, but I'm going to read through the Old Testament this year. Or you're really aggressive saying, I'm going to do it all. But here's the deal. Don't say it. Get a plan. Like, how are we going to do it? And, like, maybe need a little check-off list. And don't read just to check off, but read and be thoughtful. And I want to throw out something to you guys. Write down some of your thoughts each day. And by the way, if you do it in the Daily Bread, there's actually a digital journal you can update that. Or if you like that paper, like some of us like Lavis like that, just, you know, get one of those, you know, a tablet, write it down. Get one with a hard cover so, you know, it doesn't look all crazy at the end of the year. But do something like that. Write it down. But I want to challenge us. If we're going to build God's kingdom here, let's start building our lives on his word right now. Amen? And I leave you with one last thought. Isaiah 55. And by the way, if you have questions about or you need resources, the call I will not hang up on this week will be, hey, I'm trying to read my Bible better. Oh, too busy. See ya. Pastor Ansu, call him. Call me before midnight. Call him after 12. I'm only kidding. I do that to Guy Manat too about the food pantry. I say, you know, people need food. Call me before 12. Call Guy after 12. I'm only teasing. If you have a need for resources, right, reach out. By the way, reach out to your peers. There's a million different ways you could have a system. The key word is to have a good, solid system to ingest God's word. Amen? And I leave Isaiah 55. Look what it says. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God. He will abundantly pardon. Look what he says. He says, this is about God's thoughts. This is why I need God's thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. Check it out. God's word will not return void. It will not be a waste of time. It will not be something that you say, man, I wish I would have did the laundry. By the way, do your laundry, but please read God's word, right? Read it, right? That's what he's saying. It shall not return, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things which I sent. And I'll throw out to you guys one other method to think about in terms of God's word. A lot of us are really busy. We're in our car, you know, half of the day. Could you listen to God's word while you drive? I know somebody does that. Stuart Boyer, but I'll pick on him. He actually walks and listens to God's word. So he's accomplishing two beneficial things. He's getting some exercise, and God's word is going through his mind. Right? So we got maybe to be a little creative. By the way, you're in your phone, the U version of the Bible. It's right there. Bible Gateway. They all talk to you if you can't read. Daily Bread talks to you if you can't read it. There's like so many ways we can sort of get God's word in our hearing and in our minds. So what are we going to do, folks? Got a plan? So the goal is this week, you're going to take the, by the way, on that paper I gave you guys, I gave you all the great promises, the blessings. I gave you that outline point with the three things on it. But the back is totally empty. You know what that was for? So that you could write down your plan. Take a minute today. We're going to stop. Take 30 seconds. Praise team's going to come, and they're going to lead us in a song. Standing on the promises. So we're going to be out of here. So we get ready to leave here. I want to encourage you guys one thing. So I'll say it this way. Hopefully you wrote down what you're going to do, a plan. Here's a way to make it more bulletproof that you're going to do it. I want you guys, as you leave here today, share it with somebody. Somebody who you trust, who cares about you, who cares about you. Say, you know what? This year, I'm just going to read the Daily Bread. I've never done that faithfully. I'm going to do it. Share it with them. And it kind of gives you some accountability. It's a good thing, right? We need that as brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, and that, say, we come alongside each other. We stand with each other as we learn the word of God. Tell somebody. Right? And I want to encourage you to do that. And I'm looking forward to what God's going to do. Like, I'm looking forward to when we get to this point next year, man, that the kingdom is being built in huge ways, even greater than what we're seeing already. That would be awesome, right? That we are just showing the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ day by day. Amen? So if anybody, as you guys leave today, if you need a Daily Bread, I got a few. Grab me. If you need help, call me. If you need help, call Pastor Ansu. Reach out to your deacon. We will get you resources if you need it. And we're going to be praying that we all really grow this year in the Word of God, right? Amen.